once was lost, now I'm found. Amen. Y'all remember that I once was lost, but now I'm found. God's banner over me is love. Y'all remember that in Bible school? Sometimes we need to go back to the simple stuff, don't we? You got your Bible this morning. We're going to be reading in the third chapter of John. I'm going to read the most, I don't know, maybe the most common or popular verse in the Bible. In Awana, it's one of the first verses, if not the first verse, that they learn. You know, Awana's starting back up, and Darla's going to have an announcement here in a little bit, but they start them all the way down at what's called Puggles, which is little bitty, 2-3 years old, and you think, well, they can't learn anything. They can learn about a third of a verse. But they got to learn that God loves them. And you keep moving them forward, and they start sometimes learning John 3:16, and they learn it in segments or pieces. Well, what does John 3:16 say? It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now I'm going to look at the 17th verse. It says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This morning, what I've got on my heart is this title, Why Condemnation? Would you bow your heads with me for just a minute and let's pray before we get started to the service, to the message this morning. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you just give us exactly what you want us to have. Lord, I pray you'd help me in my understanding, Lord, my speech, my memory. God, help me to make it clear the things that you want delivered. Lord, help us to honor you with all that we do and realize, Lord, that it's not about you and you are great and you are Lord of lords and King of kings. We want you to be glorified. And I want somebody to understand this morning that you love them and that you care for them. And I want them to understand the context of what's written in this scripture we're going to read. Well, Lord, for all you do and all you're going to do, we'll give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to read a little more in John, the third chapter, but before we do this morning, I want to tell you that I appreciate this church, and I'm glad that you're here. Glad that you're here, and we're thankful for what you do in the church, if you're a worker in the church, and this church has a lot of faithful workers. You know, we got a lot of folks that are out that are dealing with different problems, open heart surgery, some recovering from complications from COVID, some getting ready for surgery, others having complications from sickness. Let's pray for them. There are people who would like to be here this morning, and they cannot be. There are people who are distracted also this morning because they have been out so long that it's become easy to be somewhere else. And let's remember them and pray for them, and let's continue to do the things that God has for us as individuals. And I want to tell you just something that's on my heart this morning as I stand here before we get into the message. It's when I preach or I teach or I speak, whether it be at Celebrate Recovery, at Bible school, at a wild game banquet, or on Sunday morning, I believe that every preacher, he preaches and he teaches based upon two things, his convictions and his interpretation of the Scripture. Now, to be a preacher, I first think there is a number one prerequisite is you must be saved to be a preacher or a pastor. Not every one of them are, okay? You must be saved. Number two, you must be called. It's not a job. It's not a vocation. It's not something you decide. You're called by God. And then you must believe the Bible. Not all of them do that either. But as I stand here, sometimes I think about it, and I think about it as the serving of the Lord in this day and time. And this is why I appreciate you and what you do. You know, I think about the responsibility that I have to the Lord, but I will just be honest with you. Here's what I think about a lot. I think about my children. I have a 21-year-old son here this morning, and I have a 16-year-old son here this morning, and I have a 30-year-old daughter. I also have a son-in-law. I think he's about 31 or 32, and when he married my daughter, he became my son. That's the way I look at it. And then I have three grandchildren. I think they're 11, 5, and 3, or 2, something like that. My wife's going to straighten me out on all that later. But when I preach or I teach or I speak, I don't care if it's Celebrate Recovery, if it's going to be a wild game banquet, if it's Bible school, if it's Sunday morning, if it's Bible study, I preach and teach the things that I want my children to hear. Sometimes I talk to Brother Allen and I say, Brother Allen, and because my boys have been in the class, I said, don't hold back. Give them the Bible, give them the Word, because they've got cell phones that give them access to everything in the world. They go home and they've got 500 channels that they can surf. They go to high school and they hear things and they're around people and they hear words that they maybe and shouldn't ever hear in home. Then they go to college. And they're in a secular environment to where they're actually pushed to not believe the things that we believe in this church. So if I stand up sometimes and I preach a message, and I've actually had people come to me and they say, well, that was strong. Let me tell you, I want my kids to hear it. When they say, you know, you really got on my toes this morning. I had my grandchildren on my heart. My grandchildren are growing up in this world. And they're growing up in a world that's drifted farther and farther away from God. And we're in an environment to where I've actually heard it on the grounds of this church. I don't want my kids preached to. Maybe mom and daddy need to get right with God. When the church gets right with God and the church gets serious about serving God, then the church would have the power that it used to have, and we can see people saved by the grace of God. Now, this is a great church, but I want to tell you, these people that are not here this morning that need to be here, and you can't help them if they're not here. You can't help somebody that it takes a search party to find. Well, you say, well, that offends me. Then get right with God. I don't know what else to do. I'm either going to preach the Word of God and live right and preach the way I want my son and my grandchildren to hear, or I'm going to go fishing. I don't know what else to do. Folks, I'm troubled this morning, and this message is troubling into my heart. Here's something I want you to understand. Jesus is coming soon, and not everybody is going to heaven. They're just not going to get to go. Because he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Now, when we read John 3:16, and I read this scripture, it says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me just make one thing clear, and I'll move on. He's talking about everybody. We are not Calvinists in this church. We're not having that rotten doctrine in here. You won't teach in this church. You won't preach in this church. And if I know about it, you won't testify in this church if you believe that stuff. He said everybody, the whole world could be saved if they just accept God. But they won't. Why? Let's find out. Because it goes from the 16th verse into the 17th verse. And it said, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Why? Because the world was condemned already. There was sin. You see, the world was created perfect by God. And God did so many things to create a place for man. But because of sin, it was corrupted. And the world is corrupted by sin. And God looking down and loving mankind so much, he said, there must be a remedy. And Jesus came, not to condemn the world, but because he loved the world, he came with a plan. Because darkness covered the world. And now let's just stop and think about it today. Is there not darkness everywhere? Are we not in a situation to where, as a Christian, are you not accused oftentimes of being the problem? We hear it on the radio. We hear politicians talk about it. They say the problem in America today is these fundamental Christians that believe the Bible. We've got to get them to change what they believe in order for the world to go forward and for us to progress. I want to tell you, woe, the Bible says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness. You see, God had a plan. Darkness covered the world. And Jesus came to be the Savior for all who would receive Him. Jesus did not come to condemn the world because it was condemned. Remember the curse, the sin, the adversary. Because when Jesus stepped onto the scene, light came into a dark world. That is why, and I want you to think about it, Christian, that, you know, sometimes we come, and this is the way it ought to be. We come to the house of God. We're here and we're fellowshipping one with another as Christian brothers and sisters in Christ. And I love to meet Christians anywhere because they're my family. I just love it being around God's people. But how many times do you as a Christian go to a place? Now, here's what it could be. It could be a Christmas outing. It could be a Thanksgiving gathering. It could be something that you're doing at work. It could be something that you're doing at school. And when you walk into the room because of what you represent, light has come into darkness, and you immediately feel the sense that you're rejected in that environment. When Jesus came and stepped into the world, light came into darkness. So I want us to understand, so why is there condemnation? Remember the 17th verse. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 1 says this, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. You see, what Jesus wanted to do is not condemn you, not condemn me, but Jesus wanted to come and condemn sin. In the book of Galatians, I believe it's chapter number 4, it talks about the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. That's all the things that we're accused of. That's all the things that we're wronged in our life. The Bible says that Jesus took them away and they were nailed to the cross. The handwriting of ordinances that was against us was nailed to the cross. See, Jesus condemned sin. He didn't come to condemn us. So why are we condemned? Says, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. So why is there condemnation? It starts off to help us understand simply this, because they refuse to believe. John 14:6 says this, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. Amen. You know, if we look at the scripture and we understand men rejecting the light, now it can be done in a lot of different ways. One way you can do it is just never receive. I mean, you can come into church and you can hear preaching and you can, God can speak to you and God can reach out with His Holy Spirit and pull on your heart, and you just push Him away and you just push Him away and you just push Him away. You just never receive. But we're in a world today where there are literally people who think that because you believe in God and you believe in Jesus Christ and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you believe that He's the only way to heaven, that you have a serious problem. They don't think you should have the right to even voice your opinion. That's where we're at today. I mean, we've got a situation in the world today. If you really want to stop and look at it and understand it, there are people being martyred right now for their faith. There are people in Afghanistan right now, about 11,000 people that were left over there because of the way that they pulled out, that are having to hide, that have the faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they're being beheaded because they believe and say that I'm a Christian. And you can reject the light in a couple of different ways. You can just simply not move when God speaks to your heart. You can never accept Him as your Savior. But I want to tell you, people are getting bold today, because in America today, it's illegal for you to discriminate against anything except a Christian. I've heard people recently, they talk about through all this inclusion and diversity stuff, everything is being accepted, except they're removing the word religion from their sentences. They used to have it to where you could not be persecuted for religious beliefs. They've taken that out of their written statements. I've seen it. People reject the light. You know, it's not that you don't see it. To me, God is all around us. You know, Kendra and I, we love just to be able to see the sunset. The sun coming through the clouds after the rain. I mean, I love the outdoors. I love nature. I love to see God's creation. And I see God. How can you not see God? David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and that my soul knoweth right well. How can you look into the eyes of a child and not see God? You see, the truth is, if you look at the scripture, it's not that they didn't see the light or recognize the light, but they didn't come to the light for a reason. They know the light is there. They know what the light represents. I want to flip over to Romans chapter number 1, and I want to read just a few verses starting in the 18th verse. It says, and this is Romans in your Bible, the first chapter in the 18th verse. Says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, I want to read the first part of that verse again. Now, I want you to understand this morning, God has many, many attributes. I've heard people say that, you know, the love of God is His greatest attribute. And I've heard people say that, no, the holiness of God is His greatest attribute. And God is holy. But it's gotten to the point today, and I've even had people question me on this. They say, should you really fear the Lord? Do you know that there is a Bible verse that says that we should pass the time of our sojourning here with fear? You go to the first part of that verse. It says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. It says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You see, the light is here and the light is seen, but the light is rejected. And it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. In the 22nd verse, I was talking to a man, he's a deacon at another church recently, and he was talking about the world and all the things going on in the world, and he said, this verse, Romans chapter 1 and verse number 22, just keeps coming back to my heart and mind. Listen to what it says, talking about the world. It says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God unto an image made like unto corruptible man, birds, four-footed beasts, creeping things. Lots you can read in that verse. You see, they understand the light. The scripture says they do, but they reject the light. And by rejecting the light, they reject the way. Jesus said, I am the way. Acts 4:12, what does it say? There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved other than the name of who? Okay, and then 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 5, it says this, there's one God and one mediator between God and man. Who? The man, Christ Jesus. Then Philippians chapter 2, verse number 10 through number 11, it says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So we see that they see the light and they reject the light, but why do they reject the light? And folks, I'm just giving you what the Bible says. I just want y'all to know, I didn't write any of this. I didn't write any of this. And sometimes, and I've thought about this, when God would put a message on my heart or even something to say, and people say, well, I don't like that, or I didn't appreciate that. And I'm thinking, how in the world can you ever have a man stand in the pulpit and claim to be a preacher and not give you the truth from the Word of God? It's scary, and it's a fearful place to be. Why do they reject him? Let me tell you what the Bible says. The 19th verse says, this is the condemnation. The light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. I want to go back to the book of Romans, chapter number 1. I just want to look over to a couple of other verses. Because the scripture says, in the 32nd verse, speaking of these who reject God, it says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Sometimes I hear people and it troubles my heart, and they make a mockery of hell. I've heard people say, well, when I get to hell, we're just going to have a party. All of my friends will be there. I've actually heard some say, when I get to hell, I'm just going to take over. Didn't we just read that said that they not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them the same? I want to flip over now to Isaiah chapter number 5, and I want to read in verse number 18 just to give you some scripture. And anybody after this, if you'd like to have a copy of this, you're welcome to it, to get these scriptures if you miss any of them. But this is what the Bible says. And this is a time that it troubles me, because here's what I believe is going on in America today. It says, woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin, as it were, with the cart rope. That say, and they're saying this, making mockery of God, says, let him make speed and hasten his work that we may see it, and let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the staff, so the root shall be as rottenness and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. That's Isaiah chapter number 5. The same prophet that wrote and spoke about Jesus in the 53rd chapter. You see, the reason for condemnation is they see the light, They love darkness. But even further, they hate the light. Look at verse 20. It's for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. They don't come to God, because if they come to God, they'll have to accept God on God's terms. The book, the Bible says that the Word of God is quick. That means it's alive. It's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. We're living in times today that if you take the Bible and you lay it out where people can see it, and I've seen this before, they walk in. I remember one day I had the Bible laying on the corner of my desk. I had somebody come in my office, and they were standing there talking to me, and they looked down and saw the Bible, and they kind of jumped. Now, I do that if I see a snake, or even more so if it is a yellow jacket's nest, and I'm in the woods or I'm on a tractor, but not the Bible. You see, it's alive and it's precious. But it's precious to me because I receive Christ and I accept Christ. But you know why people reject the Word of God? Because if the Bible is true and the words that it says are true, if it's true, then it's true what it says about them. And they don't want it to be true about them. There's so much scripture that goes along with this, but you see, they hate the light. Back in the book of Romans in chapter number 1, it talks about God haters. And if we understand what the scripture says, and we understand the power that's in the Word of God, and we read this entire chapter, we can get a picture and understand what's going on in our world, what's going on in America, what's going on in the minds of people. Well, if Jesus is so great and He loves the world so much and what such a great attribute, and love is His greatest attribute, then why is there condemnation? It's because people reject Him. They reject Him as God. They reject Him as leader and ruler of their lives. They reject Him as a Savior, as Lord, and as King. And then it goes on to say they hate the light and they don't come to the light lest their deeds should be reproved. I can remember one time when I was just a young man, maybe 20, maybe younger, going down to Welcome Hill Baptist Church. My dad was a pastor and there was a man down the street, his wife come to church. And he just wouldn't come and I liked the guy, you know. We'd go hunting sometimes, or we'd go rabbit hunting. Y'all remember that? We'd just go get the dogs and put them in the truck. And we'd go down. We wouldn't shoot much. We'd just let them run. We'd talk. And I had a burden for him. Every now and then I'd go talk to him. He had a 67 Camaro that, just to be honest with you, I wanted one like it. I'd look at that car, and we'd talk about the car, and we'd talk about hunting. But the whole time, my heart was burning. And I'd invite him to church. And I'd go back and I'd invite him to church. And I'd invite him to church. And finally one day, and he was nice. He said, I'm just not ready to give up all these things in the world that I'm doing. And it hurt me. And it hurt me because I felt like that he had made a decision, and the decision that he had made was to reject the love of God that was being poured out to him. It wasn't about me. Can I tell you the things that happen in the house of God? They're not about us. It's about the Lord. And if we could keep it about the Lord and do it for the Lord, everything that we do for God. But I felt it in my spirit that God was telling me, this man does not want what's precious to you. You ever feel like that sometimes when you're testifying to people, brother? You're pouring out your life and you're telling people how that they can have life and they can have abundance and they can be happy without this or without that, and they just don't want what you have to offer them. And it's not that God removes the burden, because you still care. But you get the understanding that there are a lot of people that just don't want the things of God. So why is there condemnation? I want to tell you why there's condemnation. When God pours out His love towards you and His care for you, and you just say, I'm good. That's somebody that Kendra and I talk about sometimes that we love. We witness to them. We say, hey, if this was your last day, if you were to die, would you help me? Would you please tell me that you'd go to heaven? I'm good. Without Jesus, you're not good. You see, they hate the light. They don't like what the light reveals. And let me tell you a little something about being a Christian. Being a Christian, being a preacher, and reading this Bible means I'm accountable for what it says. Would y'all want a preacher that preached to you, but he lived just like what's out there? No. You wouldn't want your Sunday school teacher to be that way either, would you? I wouldn't want Sunday school teacher to be that way. And just like what I said before, the things I preach to you, the things that I want my sons and my grandsons to hear, I wouldn't want a Sunday school teacher that wasn't living right, that wouldn't tell my kids what's right. But here's the problem. Bible teaches that unto whom much is given, much shall be required. Every time I open this book, I'm like Paul. Because the more I see Christ, the more I realize I have so much that I need to improve on. But here's the good news in the story. Our acceptance by Christ is not performance-based. It's not how good I am. It's not how good you are. You can say, well, I believe Christ and I accept Christ. Well, I struggle. That's what grace is for. That's not what this message is about. This message is about people who reject God, don't want God, don't want nothing to do with God, and they push God out of their life, out of their home. If you struggle, you're just like me. You're just like the one sitting beside you, because you're not home yet. You're in the flesh. You're living in this world. The condemnation comes when we stand before God. God's not going to look at me and say, well, Joe, my mama used to call me Little Joe. I was Little Joe for years. I just about hear God saying, Little Joe, you didn't do this right, you didn't do that right, you didn't do that, no, no, no. He's going to say, what did you do with my son? What did you do with Jesus? What did you do with the blood? What did you do with the cross? Some of my favorite scriptures in the 103rd Psalm. One verse I think of says, as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. My boys do something wrong. I want to help them understand it. But I want to tell you something. It don't stop me loving them. And when they get in trouble or they're in, and I tell them, look, if anything happens, your fault, anybody's fault, my number is the first one you call. Because I'll come. I want to tell you something. You get in trouble, if you know God, let His number be the first one you call. You see, here's the conclusion. The word gospel, which is there are four books in the Bible called the Gospels. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The word gospel means good news. Here's the good news. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 10:13 says this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, Jesus is precious to me. Brother Jeff gets ready. He's going to come sing a song. If you'd make your way up, Brother Jeff. Jesus is precious to me. The things of God are precious to me. The church is precious to me. When I drive down the road, and I had a drive coming in this morning, every little church that I passed, I thought about what kind of service are they going to have this morning. What kind of people are going to be there? And as I drove through the countryside and I saw the houses, I thought if the people that were here in this area would come, these buildings wouldn't be able to hold them all. I remember one day, and I'm going to say this, and Brother Jeff's going to sing. I was driving down through the country. I was down in Whitesburg, Georgia. And I drove past a little white church. It was on my right. And as I drove past the church, it's like God spoke to me. And He said, if my people loved me, my house would be full. And when I ride past the house of God and I'm around the people of God, that's where my heart's at. In America today, the house should be full. We should not have room. As Brother Jeff begins to sing this song, here's something I want you to understand. God's love cannot get any greater than it is. What makes it greater for us is receiving it. Sometimes my heart gets so heavy with the things of the world. I get so busy at work. I'm so busy at home. I'm so busy with so much. Just to be honest with you, I forget to make sure that my personal relationship with God is what it's supposed to be. I told the Lord this week, and this is what's on my heart and mind. Maybe you want to pray about this. I said, God, I don't want to feel distant from You at all. In fact, I want to feel closer to You. I want to feel like that You're near me. I want to feel like that I can hear You. I want to feel like, God, that You're in the midst of everything that I am involved in, so that I won't feel like, as I'm looking at this world, I'm becoming overwhelmed and forgetting how great and wonderful it is just to be Your child. I know there was some heaviness in this morning. But the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. We need a vision today. I'm going to ask you if you would please to rise to your feet if God spoke to your heart. If you've never been saved by the grace of God and you don't know for sure, if you died today, you'd go to heaven. I don't care if you're 5 years old or 95, if there's anybody here close to that, but I'd be getting it right with God. And if you want to be close with God, it takes a step. The Bible says to draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. And sometimes you can be in church every service and still be distant from God because you're forgetting about the number one thing that God wants from you is simply this. It's you. It's you. So if you have anything you'd like to pray about, the altars are open. We always believe in giving a public invitation for people to come and pray. Somebody will be glad to pray with you. If you'd like to come, would you please come, Brother Jeff said.
Well, it's my desire to follow Jesus. It's my desire to live. Often I fail Him and cause Him shame. Oh, but it's my desire. can have this world, its wealth and its riches. I don't need its fame, 'cause it's my desire to live for Him. It's my desire to help someone today, someone who's lost, has lost their way. 'Cause you know that one day I was lost, but oh, where Jesus brought me from to where I am today, oh, then you would know the reason why I love Him so. It's my desire to live for Him. Oh, 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 if you could see, you could see where Jesus brought this old junk from to where I am today. Then you know the reason why that I love Him. It's my desire to live for Him. You know, I don't have all the answers, but I have gone out in the world and tried to, you know, get the pleasures in this world to solve my problems. There's not any pleasure on this earth can give to you what Jesus can give. I'm just telling you from my personal experience, I've done pretty much all, and there's nothing that can help you more than the love of Jesus. All you have to do today is just receive it. You know, I used to go to a party and I would accept anything that was put in front of my nose. It took me 40 years to accept the love of Jesus. I'll never know, because it gets gooder and gooder every day. 'Cause it's my desire to follow Jesus. It's my desire to live for Him. often I fail him and cause him shame. Oh, but it's my desire to live for him. Does anybody out there know what I'm talking about? Whoa, if you could see where Jesus brought me from to where I am today, then you would know the reason why I'm living so. Nothing in this world that you need. Take this world, its wealth and its riches.
I love that song, Brother Jeff. It's my desire to live for him. Think about, what do you desire? If you could have anything in the world, anything, what would it be? Sometimes we think about stuff. I got one of those little signs on my wall at work. It says, when I take inventory of the things that matter most in life, I find that none will have been purchased with money. I was sitting there as Brother Jeff was singing. We get a couple of announcements. I just want to share something on my mind. And I was thinking about loving the Lord. My dad was a man who loved God. And he taught me how to love God. I've been around men like that, men like Harley Kimmons and Harold Pulliam. My dad was one that I can remember, even after he got sick and he was disabled, every now and then I'd go pick him up. And we'd go through the drive-in at McDonald's, and we'd get a cup of coffee for him and a cup of coffee for me. And we'd just ride to used car lots, and we'd look at old trucks. And as we rode down the road, I don't care where you were going or what you were doing, you could be working outside in 95-degree weather. My dad had something to say about the Lord. We're riding down the road, and he would just talk about God and the Lord. He saw God in everything, and he taught me how to love the Lord. I'm just like you. I have struggles. I have weaknesses. You know, there's a verse that says, the love of Christ constraineth us. We're not what we are because of us. We're what we are because the love of God and the grace of God has been rich and alive in our lives. And I'm that way. And I want to know the Lord more. And I don't want to let a world that's rejecting him cause me not to do that. Excited this morning, Miss Darla has an announcement. Now, she told us earlier, she said, I'd much rather teach or make an announcement than sing. But didn't she do a good job singing?
Amen.
I do children. That's what I do. I have a wonderful